part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Right, we are getting in touch with Pastor Mal Popwe. He'll be talking to us in a short bit. Right now, prepare those messages, prepare those questions for our topic for today. We are looking at the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus at the Last Supper. Right, I think we have Pastor on the line. Pastor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Right. So today we are looking at the Last Supper. The Last Supper. This sacred gathering known as the Last Supper stands as a poignant statement to Jesus' final teachings and the establishment of a new covenant. Join us as we unpack the rich symbolism imbued within this meal, exploring its profound significance in shaping Christian theology and spiritual. Before we get into our conversation, Pastor, can we open with the word of prayer?
All right, thank you. Let us pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, once again for the gift of life, for the gift of good health, for the gift of your word. We want to ask as we begin our program that may you be the one who is going to teach us, be with everyone participating in this program. May you also be with everyone who is going to listen to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen, Pastor. Thank you so much. Let's get into it. So my first question for today is, what significance did the Last Supper hold for Jesus and his disciples, both in terms of their immediate context and its enduring legacy?
Okay, so when we talk about the Lord's Supper, we are talking about a symbol that holds as a sign to something which in reality is something that we look up to. When we generally look at the Bible and the way the Bible was written, we will come to understand that the Bible was written in human language, yet the source of the Bible itself is spiritual. So there is what is called anthropomorphism in the writing of the Bible, where there is a combination of the human and the divine. So it is the culture of God to use symbols, to use human elements, to use physical elements in order to illustrate the spiritual truths. So one of those elements is the Lord's Supper. So when we look at the Lord's Supper as a symbol or as an element that reminds us about Christ, about his death, his resurrection, and all that, and salvation, so to say, we are looking at something that Jesus instituted. And the major reason why Jesus instituted this, of course, it came from something else, which is the Passover itself. Now, it serves as an important symbol because it brings, at this particular time when Jesus instituted it, that is in the book of John as we read, it brings the believers together. In the case of Christ and his disciples, it was used to bring closer Jesus Christ and his disciples. Okay, it brought them together into a saving union and communion and relationship. So we see that Jesus had to afterwards institute it as a memorial that should remind believers about the death and his resurrection. So it was important because in the time of Jesus, it brought Jesus and his disciples together into a saving relationship. And so today, this rite, okay, this particular ceremony, it is something that brings believers together and also reminds them about the death and resurrection of Christ and also what these did, especially his resurrection, which is salvation itself. So we see as the major theme in the institution of the Lord's Supper, salvation in Christ. So a believer who understands this rite, a believer who participates in this rite, accepts the salvation that Jesus Christ himself offers to his people.
Wow, thank you, Pastor, for that. And how did Jesus use the elements of bread and wine to convey spiritual truths and the promise of salvation?
Okay, so when we read about this particular institution, you will discover that while Jesus was having this supper with his disciples, he made mention that as you take this, you are not just doing this for formality, but he mentioned specifically to say the wine that I give you represents blood. It represents my blood, and the bread that I give you represents my body. And we also read in John chapter 6, where Jesus talks about himself being the bread that came down from heaven. So Jesus is the bread of life. So in the institution of the Lord's Supper, that bread is a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ himself, that each time we partake of it in remembrance of his death and resurrection, we are also connected to him. It is something that connects us. And also, in general terms, the bread as the body of Jesus Christ reminds us that if we constantly depend upon Jesus Christ himself and his word, the Bible, feeding from the Bible, we are going to have the life that we need as the children of God. And then the wine representing blood, they are all well connected to the body of Jesus Christ. So when we are talking about the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which are symbolized in this particular ceremony, in these particular elements, so to say, we are simply talking about Jesus, Jesus' body and his life, which involves salvation for our lives as Christians.
Right. Beautiful, Pastor. I have a message from our listener here. She's asking if you can quote scriptures that speaks about the wine and the wine. Yes, the wine.
Okay. Basically, we find the entire institution in the book of John. I did not just capture the passages specifically, but we find the institution itself where Jesus is talking about him being the him being represented in the Holy Communion by the wine and also the blood in the book of John. In the book of John, apologies, I did not capture the actual passages, but if anything comes along, I'm going to give it out. Otherwise, what we are simply talking about is that the Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, and the elements that are involved, the bread and the wine, they simply represent the body of Jesus Christ himself, and we can have communion continually, remembering his body, remembering his life and also death when we partake, and also specifically, we have communion with Jesus Christ when we study the Word of God itself.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for that. And in what ways does the Last Supper connect with Jewish traditions, such as Passover, and how did Jesus transform these rituals?
Okay, so actually, when we look at the Lord's Supper is not an institution that just started during the time when Jesus instituted it prior to his death. The time when Jesus instituted this particular ceremony was a moment around the Passover festival of the Jews. This was a festival that begins from the book of Exodus, that is Exodus chapter 12. So when we read from Exodus chapter 12, we find what is called the Passover. Now, what was happening during the Passover was that among the plagues that God sent in the land of Egypt, that worked as means through which God was revealed to the Egyptians in order for Egypt, for Pharaoh and Egypt altogether came to a realization that they need to release the children of God. Among them, we find the Passover. Now, what happened was that an instruction was given that every Jewish household was to kill a lamb, which was to be a Passover lamb. And this lamb, the blood of it was to be sprinkled. It was to be painted on the doorpost so that when the destroying angel is moving around to destroy the firstborns of the Egyptians, wherever the angel is going to find blood, of course, the blood that was representing the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ, the angel is going to pass over that house. Each house upon which he is going to find blood, he will have to pass over that particular house. And that is where we find this particular ceremony, the whole festival, the Passover festival, and everything that was happening. And so this was a ceremony that continued to be observed in Israel until the time of Jesus, from which and around which time Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, which is well connected to the Passover itself, because other things that were involved during this particular ceremony, the Passover, were the eating of unleavened bread. I'm sure the eating of unleavened bread is something that is very common and well understood, as the Bible puts it. So we find Jesus Christ instituting the Lord's Supper from the Passover festival. So the Lord's Supper is a ceremony that came from within the festival of the Passover. So it is well connected to the Passover. And so Jesus actually fulfilled the Passover lamb that was killed each time of the Passover celebration, because everything in the Old Testament, everything involving animals that were being sacrificed, they represented Jesus Christ, who was to be the greatest and the biggest lamb of God. So Jesus Christ, being the Lamb of God, replaced, or he fulfilled every rite, every sacrificial activity that was happening in the Old Testament in various ceremonies, especially in the ceremony of the Passover festival itself.
Here's another one from our listener. It says, "Hey, I am glued to this conversation. I have a question for Pastor. What was the exact date of the Last Supper, and how does it relate to the Jewish holiday of Passover?"
I'll request that the question comes again.
All right. It says, "What was the exact date of the Last Supper, and how does it relate to the Jewish holiday of Passover?"
The exact date of the Lord's Supper in the context of the New Testament, when Jesus instituted it, was not specifically given, but we are helped to understand around what time this particular supper took place. When we read in the book of John, I was still trying to find a passage where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. When I find it, I am going to give it out. But the Bible tells us that the time when Jesus instituted this particular ceremony, it was around the Passover festival. Now, when we go back to Exodus chapter 12, when we read Exodus chapter 12, there we find the institution of this particular festival as a whole, the Passover festival, which was mentioned to be commemorated in the month of Aviv. And the month of Aviv, it is today the month of July. This was the month that was marking the beginning of the year in the nation of Israel, from the time that God saved the children of Israel. So according to the Hebrew calendar, the Jewish calendar, the month of Aviv was the first month, which in our calendar, this calendar that we have is the month of July itself. So we can simply say the Lord's Supper was instituted by Jesus around the month of July, because that was the time when the festival was being celebrated. And this was the time when Jesus, just before his death, instituted the ceremony of the Lord's Supper.
Right. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that. To our listeners at home, if you want to ask any questions regarding our topic for today, we are talking about the Last Supper under the theme, The Life, Death and Resurrection of Jesus. You can send us those questions, forward them to +27734703520. Pastor Malpope, Justine is here to answer all your questions. Pastor, let us continue with our conversation. So how does the act of foot washing during the Last Supper exemplify Jesus' teachings on humility and servant leadership?
All right. So one of the problems that was among the disciples of Jesus Christ, which was the main reason why Jesus had to explain a number of things concerning humility during the institution of the Lord's Supper, was that moment after moment, they were trying to compete in the sense that each one of them wanted to be the greatest. So in short, there was a problem of pride among the disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, while Jesus was washing their feet during the same time that we are talking about, while he was washing their feet, Jesus informed them. He gave an example of the servant and the master, reminding them that there is no servant who is greater than a master. And so in washing their feet, Jesus explained to them to say, I am doing this so that you also can learn from me. I, being your master, I have stooped down to wash your feet. This simply symbolizes the teaching that involves the greatest in the kingdom of God. So what was Jesus simply trying to say, and what am I trying to say in simpler terms? Jesus was simply trying to say humility in the highest sense comes with great power in the life of every believer. So in other ways, he was simply telling them to say, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you need to be a servant among your fellow believers. So being the greatest does not mean owning mansions, owning cars, or having money in this particular world. But being the greatest in the kingdom of God involves humbling yourself. It involves getting down, okay? Because when you look at foot washing in the Hebrew tradition, foot washing was something that was done by servants. So it was only a servant who was required to wash the feet of his master. But now Jesus Christ, being the master, did the opposite. He wanted them to understand, to say, the way the world views humility, the way the world views, you know, people that are great, it is different from how we need to view, you know, the great in the Christian community. So being great in the Christian community involves you acting as a servant. It involves you becoming a servant of the Most. So when we look at foot washing, it simply is something that Jesus taught humility out of it, in that if we are to show that we are humble, if we are to show that we are servants amongst our friends, we need to get down. We need to stoop lower than them. We need to humble ourselves. And that is how we are going to be acceptable in the eyes of God.
Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor. And we have another question from our listener. It says, how did the Last Supper reflect Jesus' love and care for his disciples? And what can we learn from this example?
All right. So we evidently see that Jesus cared for his disciples just by the act itself of washing the feet of his disciples. So we have so much to learn from that particular institution. And the major thing, just from what we are from talking about here, Jesus was simply teaching them humility. You can only be humble in a general sense when you have come to understand that Jesus, being the master, lowered himself and washed the feet of his disciples. So what we are simply learning from all this is that in order for us to really appreciate the salvation that is in the symbol of the Lord's Supper, we need to understand that humility is all what Jesus was simply trying to portray in the institution of the Lord's Supper. So Jesus was teaching us humility. Jesus was teaching us communion. Jesus was teaching us that in order for us to be his children, whom he accepts in his eyes, if we are to walk as he walked, just like he mentioned, that was an instrument that he left for all generations, for Christians, that helps them to look up to him and that helps them to understand the issues of salvation. So we learn humility from the institution of the Lord's Supper, and Jesus taught it by getting down and washing the feet of his disciples.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for that.
So we find that in John chapter 13. Apologies, I was trying to locate the passage so we can find the entire story in this, where Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and instituted the Lord's Supper.
Thank you so much, Pastor. All right. Here's the last question for our topic for today. And how does the act of foot... Okay, no. We have done this one already, right? What role does remembrance play in Christian rituals, such as the Eucharist? Is it Eucharist or Eucharist? And how does it tie back to the Last Supper?
All right. So to answer that question, we first need to understand that this whole thing called the Lord's Supper is something that was left as a remembrance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about the Eucharist, we are simply talking about the Holy Communion itself, which is a sacred ritual in every Christian community that realizes and understands, okay, the importance of the death and also the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there are some key aspects that we need to draw also from the Eucharist, which is the Holy Communion itself. The first one that I was able to notice is the communion with Christ. So when we come together to participate or to partake in the Lord's Supper, believers unite, okay, with Jesus Christ as we remember the sacrifice that he gave when he died on the cross, and we receive the spiritual nourishment from the same particular ceremony. Then the other thing that we have already touched on involves the bread and the wine, which are the consecrated elements which become the body and the blood of Christ. And this involves the mystery of faith itself. Then these are sacraments, or this is a sacrament, which is a visible sign of God's invisible grace, conferring spiritual benefits. And the other thing that we need to take note of is that this is a memorial, okay, which recalls Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples and the crucifixion and also the resurrection. Then we have from this an idea of communion, where when we are celebrating with others as believers, wherever we may be, we come together as a community of believers to fellowship together, and this fosters unity among believers. And the other thing is thanksgiving. Okay, it expresses our gratitude for God's love and also redemption, which he has offered for the world.
Right, I am taking the last question from our listener, from our listeners. Here's the last one, Mfundisi. It says, "How does the Last Supper relate to the modern day celebration of communion or the Eucharist in Christian churches?"
Come again.
The question, it says, "How does the Last Supper relate to the modern-day celebration of communion or the Eucharist in Christian churches?"
Okay, so when we talk about the Lord's Supper, we are basically talking about the Holy Communion itself, because during the supper that Jesus had with his disciples, it was then that he instituted the same Eucharist, which is the Holy Communion itself. So we don't really have to differentiate the Lord's Supper and the Holy Communion, because they're just one and the same thing. Maybe we may differentiate them when we talk about context, in that when we talk about the Lord's Supper, specifically Jesus, it is something that Jesus had or did with his disciples. But in the same sense, Jesus told his disciples that do this always in remembrance of me, giving it as a ceremony that is to be celebrated until he comes. And like he said, until we have it together with him in heaven. So this is just simply one and the same thing. And it reminds us of just the same things. And these involve the death and also the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in connection with salvation. So the Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper, so to say, is the Holy Communion that we practice today. It is the same Holy Communion that we practice today, which was left to us by Jesus Christ when he firstly did it and instituted it with his disciples in John chapter 13.
Wow. All right, to our listeners at home, this is how we wrap up our conversation for today. Prepare those messages for tomorrow. But for now, we should let go of Pastor. Pastor, thank you so much for letting us speak to you today.
You are most welcome. Thank you so much also for hosting me once again today.
Amen. Until tomorrow.
Thank you.
Amen. To our listeners at home, that was Pastor Pastor Malpope Justin, taking us through our daily focus feature under the theme, The Life, Death and Resurrection of Jesus. We were looking at the topic that says The Last Supper. The time is 29 minutes past 11 here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. Right now we're going to get a song from Dogo Zombambo saying Isiphambanweni, and then after we are going straight to our devotion with Sister Claire. Enjoy the song. This is Mid Morning Empowerment. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
As the journey continues, there is a 15-year-old me